firing as she went. Using gravity and her own momentum, she took him down the dome as if they were running down the side of a hill. When they were out of range, she skidded them to a halt. The edge was in sight. Beyond that point, there was nothing but Sabaton, far below. He was still thrashing about. She reached for the repair kit in her thigh pocket and urged him to stay still. He obeyed. As she applied the fast-acting sealant to his damaged neck joint, they recognized each other. The trooper looking up at her was Sess Jopp. His voice traveled clearly through the material of their suits.
"You're the last person I expected to see."
She didn't want to say that the feeling was mutual.
"I couldn't just leave you there."
"And I'm grateful, believe me. Thank you, Lieutenant."
She couldn't tell if he was sincere or not, but it was something.
"There,"
she said, smoothing down the last of the sealant.
"You live to fight another day."
His eyes tracked to her right, over her shoulder.
"Probably not,"
he said.
"Look."
She turned and stared up at the sky. Clearly visible were the white streaks of Imperial artillery coming their way. It looked as if the crew of the Paramount were giving it all they had, precisely as they ought to, she thought. Rather than craning awkwardly up at the approaching missiles, she turned and sat down next to Jopp.
"Best seats in the house, eh?"
she said. He laughed.
"Yeah. People would kill for him."
She thought of her former colleagues in the Black Stars, of the bravado and the bonding, and the sense of belonging that she had missed so deeply.
"Grunts like us never learn. Fireworks are only pretty from a distance."
Jopp nodded soberly.
"Makes a pleasant change to have an officer down here with us."
He turned to look at her.
"Guess you're not so bad after all, Toxic Moxla."
She smiled. That was as close to an apology as she was likely to get. But in the service, it amounted to a vow of loyalty that would endure until they died. It was a shame, she thought, that that wasn't going to be very long. Chapter 43. Exhaust trails drew complex hieroglyphs across the sky. No less than 15 missiles were converging on the object that had risen out of the lake. The blast radius was going to be so huge, there was no point running. Shigar braced himself for the explosion. There was a small chance that he could shield himself from the worst of it, but what happened afterward was the great unknown. There might be no island left at all. He couldn't float about forever on a sea of lava. On the brink of death, he caught a glimpse of how his life would have played out had he lived. He knew, intellectually and viscerally, that he had earned the rank of Jedi Knight. Master Nobile couldn't deny him that now. He had fought and made deals with enemies. He had wrestled with the dark side. He had conquered his one remaining weakness. And most important, he was willing to fight.
"You are a product of your time," he heard his former master saying. "You must confront the times ahead with great care. The Sith are the enemy, but we must not become like them in order to beat them. We must remain true to all that we stand for."
He couldn't tell if her voice was in the present or an echo of the future that would never be. Similarly, he couldn't tell if she was reproaching him or offering him encouragement.
"I cannot stand by while politicians play their games," he said in reply. "It was an act of thievery that led us here.